Those of you that have been around since the summer know that I had some back problems. I had some discs that were in the back here, above my back, below, just in the base of my neck. Those discs, I don't know what numbers they are. I'm sure some of y'all know that. And it was so funny when I first came up with this issue. All these people in the church that have back issues too are coming to me. Yeah, I've got the same thing, this and that. I had herniated or bulging discs in the top of my back, in the base of my neck, that was pinching a nerve and causing extreme pain down behind my shoulder blade, all the way down my arm. I had intense pain in my forearms. These fingers were numb. I couldn't really feel them at all. And then I realized over time I was losing strength in this arm. Like the muscles were actually shrinking in this arm. That the one time I went to the gym, I felt, you know what I'm talking about? That one time you go to the gym and you're like, this arm was going up and this one wasn't going up. I'm like, man, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew it hurt, but the pain started going away, but I still had no strength. And as much as I couldn't, the muscles were actually going away. So we prayed. I asked the church to pray. You guys helped me pray. I went to doctor. I went to a chiropractor. I went to physical therapist. I got an MRI, and that's how I know exactly which ones. There's four discs that were bulging, and they're pressing on nerves. And so I got realigned by the chiropractor. I got exercises and stretching and all this kind of stuff from physical therapists. And things started coming back into line, and my muscles started getting stronger. And I have no pain in my back. I have no pain in my arm. I have no numbness. I have all my feeling back in my fingers, and my arm's about 80% now. It's on its way back. So that's great. I'm thankful to God that He allows us to be healed and be restored. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Some of you are still struggling with your back. You still have back problems. You're still hurting. And I just want you to trust in God. He's able. You can trust in Jesus. He can help you. What I learned throughout this whole process as I began to study and research and talk to doctors and talk to different people like that is I learned this key thing, this key concept, and it's the first line there on your notes. It's this: you can have a problem, somebody say problem. Problem. You can have a problem before you have a symptom. And we spend most of our life trying to get rid of symptoms and don't deal with the problem. And that has to do with our health, our life, our finances, our spiritual life. We actually have a problem before the symptom ever gets to present itself. And instead of just having the symptom go away and us saying, yeah, we don't have the problem anymore, there still might be an issue down below the surface that is the symptoms are going to reoccur at some point if we don't deal with the problem. Anybody follow me this morning? Anybody know some people that got some problems in their life, and you know they got some problems, and maybe that's you, maybe that's me. We've got problems, but all we want to do is talk about the symptoms. And my pastor would say that we're trying to put cold cream on cancer. Like, we just want the sore to go away. We just want the pain to go away. But down deep below, there's an issue in the cellular level that we need to address and talk about and deal with. So the truth is, in our physical body, in our spiritual life, that the problem begins to root itself inside of us before we even know about it. And one of the physical therapists I went to see said when he was in school, they did a study, and it was published that, I can't remember the exact percentage, 70 to 80% of people actually have bulging discs but don't realize it because it's not pressing on a nerve. It's just bulging, but it's not, you don't even know about it because you can't see, you don't know, there's no symptoms, but at some point there possibly could be an issue, and it may not. It may never hit a nerve, but it's bulging. And so how could that be the same principle in our spiritual life? The therapists and the chiropractors say, if you've got something that is out of line, then we're going to help you get it back into line. We're going to realign. We're going to have an adjustment. And that's what this line of the prayer, would you put that scripture back up? Just your kingdom come, your will be done. Verse 10, this part that we're talking about today, I want you to consider it as the realignment, the adjustment of your spirit. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants us to pray that line and not just quote that exact line, but let that line be the theme of the beginning of your prayer when you're talking to God. Let this concept crack you up a little bit, realign you a little bit, adjust your will to His will, your kingdom to His kingdom. So this part of the prayer is called, in many circles, the Lordship petition. What you're saying to your heavenly Father is, I don't want you to be my father that I have left the house and I'm now on my own. That's not the kind of father I'm looking to you as. But I want to be very clear about this to you today, Lord, as I'm talking to you. I want you truly to be my Lord. I want you to be the kind of dad that I'm still living in the house with. I want you to be the kind of dad that still provides for me and still takes care of me and still protects me and every once in a while tells me I came home too late and I need to come home earlier. No, I'm talking about a dad that's still up in your business. Yeah. A dad that's going to correct you every once in a while. You haven't graduated and elevated yourself as equals to your father. But no, what I'm saying is Heavenly Father. And when Jesus said that in his language, it was Abba, Father. A very casual and relational word. And many would say that that word in our language is dad or daddy. I come to you, Dad, and I want you to know that I'm not going to live this life for myself. Instead, Dad, I am still submitted to your way. I'm still submitted to your rules. I'm still submitted to your household, and I'm excited about that. I need an adjustment every once in a while because sometimes I'm not excited about that. Sometimes I've gotten off-centered, I've gotten self-centered, I've gotten a little bit egotistical or prideful because either things are working out really well or I'm upset because things aren't working out really well, whatever, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, I've gotten myself off-centered and I'm not focused on Jesus anymore. I'm not under the Lordship of God, of our Father in heaven, and I'm on my own. I'm out of the nest. And so what Jesus knew that that would be the case. And so he says, when you talk to God, make sure that you include this Lordship petition. Lord, I'm coming back under your covering. It is your kingdom that excites me. It is your will that excites me. And if it is not your kingdom, His kingdom or His will that excites you, it is this prayer that you just stay in and you don't even get to the other parts of the prayer until you have been realigned by this part of the prayer. So when you're praying the Lord's Prayer and you're going through it, hey, our Father in heaven, da, 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 you get all the way to the end. Done. Yeah. That was not the intent that Jesus wanted to accomplish. He wants you to work through this conversation, and if something sticks out, like if you're really struggling because you're upset that God hasn't done something for you or performed for you or done what you wanted Him to do, then it's quite possibly you need to be realigned. You need an adjustment. So this is the Lordship petition, but another blank there you got is this part of the conversation, it realigns our desires. It adjusts our thoughts. It's the recentering of our mind. It is the realignment of our heart. And this is the exact prayer that Jesus himself prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was faced with the cross, which was the will of the Father, but it definitely was not the will of the flesh. The Son, the flesh, was facing crucifixion and a brutal execution on a cross with nails and whips and crown of thorns. And that is not what a body wants to do. Body does not want to go through that. And so when he was, the night before he went and he was pouring out, he was praying this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we went there a couple years ago and we stood in that Garden of Gethsemane. There's still olive trees that are 2,000 and 3,000 years old that were there when Jesus was weeping and praying this prayer. And he was grieving him. And he stayed in this prayer. He stayed in this thought, in this one line of, Lord, if your will is not my will, then Lord, may your will be done. Please, please let this cup pass from me. Please, I don't want to drink the cup that houses the sins of the entire world, but if it is the only thing, Lord, if this is your will, Father, I will drink this cup. Your will be done. This is the sacrifice of ourselves. We're laying down what we want. It is realigning. It is the adjustment. And so what's important to realize, you might say, well, God's in control. He's all powerful. He is in control. He does know everything. He has all the power. So why do I personally need to pray this prayer? If God's already in control, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. And what do I have to do with this? And one of the forefathers of our church in the 4th century, Augustine, said it like this: God is reigning now. Yes, he is. God is reigning now, but just as light is absent to those refusing to open their eyes, so it is possible to refuse God's rule. So in other words, just because God is on the throne and he is on the throne and he's going to have ultimate justice one day, he still allows us at this day and time to do our own thing if we want to. We're still living in a time and an era when if we want to go do our own thing, God gives us the permission to just go do your own thing. Live your own way. This part of the prayer is so vital. Thy kingdom come. It recenters us. If we've gotten offline, if we've gotten out of line, Lord, I stay in this part of the prayer. Is there anything in my heart? Is there anything that's going on in my life? And so sometimes when we talk to God, we're stressed, we're fearful, we're angry, we're upset. And this is the part of the prayer that we deal with that at the very beginning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Why do I have anger in my heart right now? Why do I have fear in my heart right now? I recognize it. I feel it. I admit it. Why do I feel this way? What in my life have I not given over to God? What am I still struggling with? What am I still owning? What am I still afraid that I'm not going to nail it? And so this is the lordship part of the prayer where we say, as I'm praying this out, and as it's working through my mind and my heart, I'm trying to figure out. I thought we were like doing a song together. We were dancing there for a second. As I'm praying this prayer, God is speaking to me. This is where you don't trust me. This is where you're trusting in yourself. This is where you're trying to be your own redeemer. This is where you're trying to take care of things yourself. Why don't you let it be my will, my kingdom come, my will be done. This is really what this part of the prayer is. It is communion with God. You know, we take communion here the first Wednesday night of every month. We come together as a church family. We take communion or the Eucharist. We take the bread. We have the drink. It's the Lord's Supper. in the Lord's Supper, when we take that, he said, do this in remembrance of me. When you take of this cup, when you drink of this bread, you are remembering what I mean to you. You're recentering your life around me as the Christ of your life and the Lord of your life. That's a special time that we do as a church family. But listen, this part of our conversation with God is basically the same thing. You're having your own communion, even if you don't have a bread and a drink right there. That's what this part of the prayer is all about. I am realigning myself, and it's a daily, daily conversation with God. It's a daily conversation with God. It's a daily conversation with God. Lord, where's my will not line up with your will? Where am I being rebellious? What am I, you know, what part of my kingdom am I trying to establish? If I build a name for myself or for my company or for my, you know, for the people around me, how am I building my own kingdom instead of building your kingdom? How am I trying to accomplish my will instead of your will? The other day I was speaking to a young lady who's starting off her career. She's launched off into her career. She's doing well, but she struggles with the day-to-day of the job, and sometimes she feels insufficient to accomplish the work, or she feels like she's kind of in a dead end or whatever. And so she was talking about it, and she was talking about how she comes back to God, and she trusts in God, and she says, oh yeah, God's here, God's with me, God's for me, and he's gonna help me, he's there for me every step that I take, and I can trust in God, and God gives her clarity. It makes sense, she finds peace. But then she said, it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to get lost back in the job again. It's so easy to get lost back in the voices of all those coworkers and all those people and clients and customers and whoever you're dealing with, teachers and students and patients or wherever you're, it's just so easy to get lost. I say, yes, that's the truth. And that's why Jesus said to pray this part of the prayer. That's why this part of the prayer is so important. Because every time you pray this part of the prayer, you go back to the most important thing, Jesus. It is the realignment. So that you can go just a certain distance away and get distracted just for a certain distance away. But then when you feel that heaviness of the world or that stress of your life or that difficulty, or maybe it's a beautiful thing. Maybe it's a new raise, a new job. In fact, I just spoke to a man after the first service, and he came up and said, this spoke to me so much because I just got a raise. I'm getting paid more than I've ever been paid in my life, and I'm making more than anybody in the company, and this is so important to me because I don't ever want to get distracted by the goodness either, the goodness or the difficulty, because both of them are so convincing, aren't they? One of them says, look what you've done. And the other one says, you've been left and betrayed, and no one even knows about you. No one cares about you, not even God. So if we talk to God and we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Those are big words there. If and. If we pray, if we talk to God and we include this section, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are realigned. Every time we're realigned, Lord, I want your kingdom. I want your will. And you don't have to wait until you get here to church on Sunday morning to pray this prayer. You don't have to wait until you take communion. You don't have to wait until you get home. You can have a conversation with a coworker. You can have a conversation at school. You can just be stressed out by the fact that that project's due or that test is coming up or whatever it is that you've got going on, and you just feel that coming on. Lord, I want your kingdom to come and your will be done. Daddy, I need your help. I want you to be, Lord, I want you to be the last word. I don't want to be the last word. Isn't it so true that we want independence and we want freedom as teenagers until we get it, and then we realize it wasn't so bad? Dad, can I have some money? Mom, I need some money. I need some food. You know, pizza rolls, Totino's, Hot Pockets, somebody, come on. Yes, Hot Pockets. they're good for a while, but there's nothing like your mom's cooking. You know, there's nothing like that. I need, to have the protection of home. Oh, to have the love of home. That I wouldn't be the last, that my income wouldn't ultimately be up to me. That my peace would not ultimately be up to me, but it would be up to my Heavenly Father who loves me and cares for me and wants to work through me. So we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We ask God, this is the final blanks there on your paper. We ask God to so fully rule us, to be our Heavenly Father, his kingdom to come, his will, so much so that we want to obey him with all of our heart and with joy. We ask God to so fully rule us that we want to obey him. There's been times in my life where I've thought that God's will was a certain thing, and I thought it was a certain timeline, but the further I go along in life, I realize it's not happening. Has anybody been in that spot too? It's not happening. But I thought it was the will of God, and so I can spend all my time, even in the context of church, in the context of you and your walk with God as a follower of Jesus. I'm not just talking to people that don't know God at all. I'm talking to everybody here today. You can even be following after Jesus and hear his voice and still try to rush him or try to think that you need to help him, even when you're in the will of God and in the work of God. And you can try to feel like, there's that angst and that pressure and that tension. Well, so-and-so has been here for this long, and look what they're doing. Look how this is going. I should be further along. I should be doing this. And there's all this tension in your heart, even in a good subject and a good topic of your life. But it may just not be God's timing. When he is in control, he's in control of everything. If God is going to open a door in your life, he's going to have the power to open that door, and no man can shut that door. No one. So you're trusting in God. Lord, I believe that this is your will, and I understand that this is going to happen someday, but it's obvious it's not happening right now, and I'm not going to be frustrated and angry or mad at you or upset with myself or think that I'm not doing something I should be doing or thinking I'm doing all these bad. I'm not going to think about, Lord, thy kingdom come, your will be done, whatever that looks like. There are some times that there's some people, there's some places and things that we're holding on to that we think this is good. I'm getting something out of this relationship. I was just speaking to one of the college students yesterday. I spoke at one of the sessions. We had a packed out house Friday night, Saturday night. College, there's like 600-700 college students here worshiping God and praising him. It was awesome. And I had a breakout session over there in the theater. It was packed out. The kids were just, I was telling them our story and telling them all about our life. And these kids started coming up to me at the end. And this one said, I feel like these people are being cut out of my life. And I thought they were my friends. And one of them was my roommate. And he started dating my girlfriend. And they went off without me. And he's just talking all about this. And I just thought this. And I just thought that. And I'm confused. And I'm not sure what's going on. I said, let's pray, man. Let's pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Lord, if it is your will that these people are pruned out of my life, that I won't see them again or talk to them again, or if it may be months before I do or weeks before I do, if it's not the way I want it, Lord, and you're removing, if that's your will, let your will be done. Oh, that's a tough prayer to pray, isn't it? Because we want it, we get that satisfaction because we've been trusting in that person to fulfill us and to be the place of God for us. So what we're saying is no longer will people, no longer will places, no longer will jobs or power or relationships take the place of you, God, but you're the Lord over my life. You're the Lord over my life. You're the one that's in control. You're the one that's in the power, and I yield everything to you. Every relationship, every issue, every problem, I yield it to you, Lord. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. When this happens, God becomes the judge of your life. God becomes the one who has vengeance on your enemies and not you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If you've got something, you've got a problem with somebody, and you feel like you got to really make sure they learned their lesson, you're going to burn yourself up trying to prove that they did something wrong and that they really pay for what they did. But when you hand it over to God and say, Lord, vengeance is yours. I give it to you. If you want them to go live in a mansion somewhere, if you want them to suffer and die, Lord, whatever, I trust that you're the ultimate judge. I trust that you're the ultimate judge and you've got everything under control. I kind of want you to do that second thing that I was talking about, but hey, whatever you want to do, God, you're in control. Take over. There's so much freedom in that. There's so much peace in that. That you're not the one that's having to do it. And so you're not the one having to seek revenge. And you're not the one that's trying to protect yourself. And you can even get a bad name. You can even be accused of things. You can be slandered. You know, people can do things against you. And you can ultimately say, it's not my reputation. I'm God's child. He gives me my identity. It doesn't matter what you say about me or what you accuse me of. I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. This is God's kingdom. He's going to have the ultimate say in everything that goes on. Isabel, come help me in this. There's two, I've been studying a lot of the church fathers as I've been going through this and just looking at how they prayed. And one of them was Thomas Cranmer, who was burned at the stake because of his belief in the gospel of Jesus. Before he was burned, he said this, may we obtain all you have promised. May we love all you have commanded. Martin Luther said, may your future kingdom be the consummation of what you've begun in us. The truth is, when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, it doesn't mean that you're kicked off onto the side and that you're not going to play a part. The truth is that when it's God's kingdom and God's will, you're going to be very much a part of it. And he blesses his kids that are part of his plan. He loves his kids that are part of his will. He blesses them. He helps them. He heals them. He strengthens them. You are blessed. You are favored of God when you are a part of his will and his kingdom. So you don't ever have to worry about that. Why don't we pray right now? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And what I want to do is I want us just to pray these first two verses. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's spend the next few minutes just in your own way and in your own words praying and meditating upon those two verses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we come to you today and recognize you as our Father. But Lord, we don't want you to be a distant, far off Father that we just call or text every once in a while. We want to be under your roof. We want to be your little kids, God. We want you to take care of us. We want you to be our protector. We want you to be our provider. And God, what we're saying is we want your will to happen and not our will. We want your kingdom to come, not our kingdom. Your kingdom is eternal, it's immortal. Your will is all powerful. It has the ability to bring life and creativity in a way that we could only hope or dream. Lord, we recognize today that we would be unable to even say a word to you. You wouldn't listen. You would be so disconnected from us if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus Christ, such a sweet and precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, who means salvation. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, who came, your own flesh came to allow us at this moment, right here, right now, to have a conversation with you, to talk to you, and that you care about us and that you listen to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you just to think about this. What out of those three sections that we've covered, our dad in heaven, the access of the name of Jesus saving you and making you eligible to talk to God, and then his will and his kingdom, if you're struggling with any of those parts, we pray, Holy Spirit, complete the work that you've begun in each and every one of us. Spirit of God, who is living and breathing and tangible in this place right now, wherever we are struggling, maybe it's with our own past and our own sin, Lord, I pray right now that we would find our salvation in you alone. Jesus, you're enough to forgive us of all of our sin. If we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. If we've been selfish or self-centered, if we've been out of alignment with your word, if we've tried to build our own kingdom or our own way, our own path, God, and we've drifted off of your path, Lord, we just make a declaration today. We want your kingdom, not our kingdom. We want your will, not our will. Holy Spirit, give us the clarity of thinking. Give us the clarity and the insight, Holy Spirit, that only you can do, to help us, God, to see those places where we have been selfish, to see those areas of our life that we have not fully given up to you. May we see where those are, and then may we have the courage and the faith to let go. In Jesus' name, talking to God. Let's talk to God right now about our relationship with him. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you know, I don't even know God at all. I don't even have a relationship with God. I don't pray. I don't talk to God at all. But this has stirred up some interest, and you would like to have a relationship with God where you speak to him and talk to him, and he talks, you hear his voice coming to him is life changing, and it means a new life, out and death of the old and in with a rebirth in Jesus. That sounds like a massive project or plan, but it begins with a simple prayer when you say, Lord, please come into my heart today. Forgive me of my sin. I recognize you as my Lord, and I'm not going to try to do this on my own any longer. Why don't we pray those things right now? You can pray the words I pray exactly, or pray your own words. Lord Jesus, come into our heart today. Please forgive me of my sin. There's many things in my life that I'm not proud of. Today, I recognize that I can find salvation in you. I put my faith and my trust in you, Jesus Christ. I look to you to be my Savior and my Lord. And I lay down anything in my life that is separating me from you. I want to live a life that honors you and that follows hard after you. I open up my heart and my mind and my spirit that your Spirit would fill me. I make myself open for your Holy Spirit to fill me from the inside out. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I want to walk as a son and a daughter adopted, not with my head hung, but with my head lifted up. You know my name. You know where I am. You love me. You're proud of me. You're excited about my future. From this day forward, God, I walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen.